Cette ceci Mars Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavin Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopina Shyam Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari 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 Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Pranaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Tira Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Krishna Pranaya Prabhupada Sthatmane Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Bhakti Tira Niti Namini. Narayana Namaskritya Narunchayagam Naruttamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashta prayasu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So this morning, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7. The chapter is entitled The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha. Text 25. Daksho grihitaharna sadanotamam yageshwaram vishwa sri jamparam gurum sunanda Nanda Dhyanugeir Vitamuda Grinam Papide Payata Kritanjalihi. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Vishnu accepted the oblations offered in the sacrifice, Daksha, the Prajapati, began with great pleasure to offer respectful prayers unto him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the master of all sacrifices and preceptor of all the Prajapatis, and he is served even by such personalities as Nanda and Sunanda. Hare Krishna. There is no purport to this. Om Agyana Timirandhyasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshun Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatru Vishcha Kripa Sundibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Pranaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Shacharini. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratrishe Namaha. Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Divyacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So here's the text again. Daksho Grihitahana Sadanotamam Yageshwaram Vishva Srijam Param Gurum Sunanda Nandade Anugevitam Muda Grinan Prapede Payata Kritanjalihi. When Lord Vishnu accepted the oblations offered in the sacrifice, Daksha, the Prajapati, began with great pleasure to offer respectful prayers unto him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the master of all sacrifices and preceptor of all the Prajapatis, and he is served even by such personalities as Nanda and Sunanda. Hare Krishna. So, from the texts before, leading up to this one which talks about Lord Vishnu having appeared and is now accepting the oblations in the sacrifice, what has started off as really negative has now, by the mercy of the Lord, ended quite well. So many things can be learned, so many lessons can be learned from what has happened up to this point between Daksha and Lord Shiva, and then the others that were part of it, major part of it, Daksha's supporters, Lord Shiva's followers, Daksha's daughter, who is the same as Lord Shiva's wife. So many things have happened, but still the element of mercy is shown in this. Mercy from Lord Shiva, and even more mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. The Lord is aware of everything that's going on. So clearly, the Lord was aware from the beginning what was going on, up to the time that he himself showed up at the sacrifice. Now, so here are the turn of events. Daksha could really have been punished, as Srila Prabhupada says earlier. He could have been punished by being thrown into hell for a long time due to his offenses to Lord Shiva. As it's done, especially in this country, the United States, and many other countries, in the court of law, usually when somebody is convicted or at least arrested and taken to court, the offenses are listed in detail. And those of us that are not in the legal system, sometimes we get surprised to hear that, yeah, we may have even known what the person did, but the court of law kind of breaks it down to even greater counts of guilt or greater counts of charges. They don't say guilty. Guilty to the end if the person is really guilty. But the charges. So, I'm thinking, and by the mercy of my guru and guidance from the Parampara, that clearly there's reason for Daksha being thrown into hell and suffering terribly for his offenses, because there were quite a few of them. First of all, Daksha was envying Lord Shiva. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it says lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy are the six vices that we must avoid. Clearly, Daksha was not avoiding that. He was envious of Lord Shiva, envious of Lord Shiva's position. And so this is already ongoing Then, in the first yagya that he and two others put together, he, Daksha, and two others put together, Lord Shiva came, and not to go into the whole story again, or the turn of events, the other charge to Daksha was disrespecting Lord Shiva at the yagya by considering Lord Shiva through material relationship as a son-in-law, when spiritually he was actually a higher. He, Lord Shiva, was much higher than Daksha, King Daksha. That's also another offense. The disrespect by considering him not through spiritual relationship, but through material relationship. Then another charge was that Daksha was speaking harshly at the time to Lord Shiva, unkindly to Lord Shiva. The next charge was that Lord Daksha refused to give a share of oblations from the sacrifice to Lord Shiva. Part of it was shared, supposed to be shared by all those who were there. Lord Shiva was not given another one, any. That's also another offense, another charge. Then Daksha was the source, by speaking that way, he was the source of the commotion at the Yagya program, the cursing and the counter-cursing by followers of Lord Shiva and supporters of Daksha. And later, another charge, at a second program that he set up, Daksha showed disrespect to Sati just because Sati was the wife of Lord Shiva. And him, Daksha, was still envious of Lord Shiva. Carried it on to his own family, family member, the favored one, actually. Sati was supposed to be his favorite. But still, because of his connection by marriage to Lord Shiva, her own father disrespected her at their house. So, that's another charge. And finally, Daksha didn't show any remorse when Sati left her body by, cremating herself through mantra, burning herself. So, these are all charges against Daksha. And so far, what's been read is 7 of them. So, all of these definitely add to the fact that Daksha should really have been punished a whole lot more. So all these charges, after the first sacrifice and all of the horrible things that he did there, he still didn't come to his senses. And in the second program, he did it also to his own daughter, Lord Shiva's wife. So, even though he deserved to go to hell, and suffer there, in spite of all of these apparatus, Lord Shiva elected to give him token punishment. For these charges, Daksha, deserved more punishment than what he got. And so when someone deserves greater punishment than what he gets, he or she gets, then mercy has been shown to that person. So Lord Shiva actually showed mercy to Daksha. Punished him like a parent will punish a child. So, what really happened to him was, eventually he was replaced. His head was replaced by a goat's head. He was brought back to life. His life was taken, but then the goat's head was, his head was cut, and a goat's head was put there. That was his punishment. Now, then more mercy was shown by Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva accepted Daksha's prayers and plea for forgiveness. When Lord Brahma stepped in and brought everybody back to their senses that attended this, and then Daksha realized, he has to go beg for forgiveness. Lord Brahma explained to him, and now went with them to Kailas Hill, to Lord Shiva's abode. And Daksha began praying and asking for forgiveness. Lord Shiva accepted the plea for mercy, and Daksha got an opportunity to start another yagya. This time with the full intention of satisfying Lord Shiva and everybody that was present. So, as it said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, up to this point, the previous text, the yagya had to be purified, the yagya arena had to be purified, and this was done, and then, after the oblations into the sacrifice, here comes Lord Narayan, which made this whole sacrifice even more auspicious, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself showed up. And then after the oblations, Lord Narayan accepted part of this too. So Lord Narayan also made it even sweeter by showing up himself along with his associates, the ones mentioned here, Ananda and Sunanda. We'll talk about them later. So Daksha got even more mercy by now seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So the Lord showed more mercy after the proper sentiments had been shown. What needed to be done now was being done properly by Daksha. Now, so things sometimes start in a very negative way, but with the Lord being involved and with the person that started the negative thing coming back to their senses and doing the right thing and asking for forgiveness, sometimes so much mercy is shown. The whole incident that started now has ended quite well. So, let's throw another one in there, another example. The Kurukshetra War. Mahabharata and the whole unfolding of events leading to the war. There was so much tension. One can only imagine the tension in Hastinapur. A big war was going to happen. People's husbands, people's brothers were all going to war. Yet, after the war, the citizens got the rightful leader, Maharaj Yudhishthira. Those who died in the war had gone to much, much better situations by Kunta planets and so on. Ultimately, that is better than being in the material world. Far better. So, the conclusion to all of this is that when a devotee makes a mistake and corrects his mistake, then mercy is shown. We have to do that. When someone does something wrong and they admit this was wrong, all devotees that know about it should then go into the compassion mode. One has to show compassion for a person that is asking for mercy, admitting that they have done something wrong. So Daksha finally came to his senses. He was punished, true enough, token punishment compared to what he had done, but the Lord shows mercy to even show up at the sacrifice which was repeated by Daksha. Daksha praised Lord Shiva. It's another point. And he also apologized. He praised Lord Shiva. So this is a big turn of events now, from a person that envies Lord Shiva now praising Lord Shiva. This is great. This is something that if we fall into that situation, we also should aspire to do the same. First of all, it's not good to envy anyone, because if we envy anyone, we are also envying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many devotees don't see it that way. But the reason is, if you envy anybody, you are envying part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. The soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So if you envy the person, you obviously envy the soul. The body may be the reasons why you envy the person. Material things may be the reason, but the person is not the body. The person is the soul. So when you envy, or when anyone envies, I shouldn't say you, but when anyone envies another person, that person that is envied is connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a part and parcel. Therefore, the envy also affects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why we have to be very careful not to be offensive to devotees, especially envy. And speaking about envy, you know, we have wound up here in the material world because we were envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the last thing we shouldn't get ourselves in there, because that's the original mistake that's caused us to come to the material world. Definitely have to kick out envy in our lives. Otherwise, there's no going back. Now, Daksha also acted humbly. His prayers praising Lord Shiva was definitely an act of humility, because initially he envied Lord Shiva, and now he's even praising Lord Shiva and apologizing. So the Lord was merciful to him. That was definitely something that the Lord would definitely appreciate from anybody that is in that situation and now acts wonderfully like that. So then he appeared, by his mercy, to please everyone. Now, the lessons that we learn from this, well, when we make a mistake or when we offend someone, we should immediately apologize. If that opportunity is not there, we should apologize as soon as possible. If the immediate opportunity is not there, it should definitely be at the back of our minds that we need to apologize. Now, if it is possible to correct the mistake physically, then we should do it in addition to the apology. In the case of Daksha, Daksha was advised to repeat, do another sacrifice. So now, not only did he apologize to Lord Shiva, now he's going to go back and do it correctly. This time, offering respect to everyone present, including Lord Shiva. And even Lord Narayan appeared to make it even more grand. So, if it is possible to correct the mistake, then we should do it again. I remember my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, gave an example also on the same point. That if someone, say, steals something, and later on it comes to the point where they have to apologize for the bad deed, what they have done, the apology is good. It's good to apologize, and if the person really feels remorse. But it's even better when that thing that was stolen is returned to the rightful owner. So it's always not just good enough to express regret and remorse, but do something to change the situation that you're in. If it could be repeated, like Daksha did, he did the sacrifice again. If the thing can be returned, it should be returned. That really, you know, then closes the door on the situation and finishes it up nicely. Now, what about when we offend a devotee, like backbiting? Backbiting is to say something about the devotee that is negative, but you're not saying to the devotee's face, and the devotee doesn't hear about it. He's not there at the time, but something is said. Usually that happens in gossiping. Backbiting, saying something bad about someone. That's still an offense. It's a serious offense. It's Vaishnava Aparad. And we should also apologize for that. Now, what do we do in that situation? Many of us would not be looking at the option of going to or contacting that devotee and apologizing to them when the devotee doesn't even know that they've been offended. Now, from pondering and reading a little bit about this, and also getting advice about this, we should apologize to the spiritual master. And if you're not initiated, to Srila Prabhupada for the offense to that devotee. Because the transcendental system is aware of what's been done. The devotee that had been offended does not know anything about it, because they were not around at the time this happened. Or in another place, a comment has been made, gossip has been done. So in that case, we go to our spiritual master, or we go to Gonitai and offer our obeisances and admit the wrongdoing and also apologize and ask for forgiveness. But most importantly, we should be very alert not to commit any aparad in the first place. Because aparad is sunya rada. Aparad has rada's name as part of it. Aparad means Srimati Radharani gets upset with us. And when Srimati Radharani gets upset with us, just like Srila Prabhupada gave the example, mad elephant disease. When once garden of bhakti has been very, very carefully cared for and it's blossoming, and a mad elephant gets in, an elephant is very strong, and when their senses are gone like that of an elephant, they can destroy things. I have heard lectures about that mad elephants can actually go to a village and destroy some of the huts, the buildings, not just the garden only, but they actually destroy, they could just tear down different structures. Elephants are very strong. So this is an example that Srila Prabhupada gave to warn us about aparad. Because he says that if we commit aparad, then everything is spoiled. The whole garden of bhakti is spoiled. Basically, what he's saying is, even if someone is chanting the minimum of 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and that person is also following all four regulated principles, to commit aparad means all of that goes for naught. Nothing. Srila Prabhupada has already said, when we chant the minimum of 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We chant our rounds every day, 16 minimum, and obey all four regulated principles. Srila Prabhupada says, that person is guaranteed to go back to the spiritual world. Guaranteed to go back to the spiritual world. Yet, when that person commits, if that person commits aparad, then they don't get a chance to go. Even though they've done all the 16 rounds every day and obeyed all four regulated principles. So that's how serious aparads are. Very careful of them. Many, many, many times. I remember my spiritual master, he advised us on so many things to do. He was concerned for the devotees who were not doing what was their responsibility, you know, to help with his mission. And his mission obviously was for Srila Prabhupada. And he would complain about that. But the only time that he literally banged his head, banged his hand on the side of the sidearm, the chair, and yelled at us, this is Dashan, I'm reading it, but you know, this is not in the temple, this is when he was meeting only his disciples. The only time he yelled at us and called us neophytes is when he knew we were committing aparad. He was very, very, very strong in that. He literally screamed at us and called us neophytes because there was aparad going back and forth and he knew about it. Because aparads just end everything. You're not going back to the spiritual world if you're an aparadi. And at first, we were looking like, whoa, this is pretty serious how he's acting. First, because in our neophyte stages, and we were neophytes, and we're still neophytes. I certainly consider myself neophyte. He was talking about this very, very, very strongly. And we didn't know why he was that upset. But later on, we read, and as the devotee grows and hears more, then he realizes how serious when a person that commits aparad, how serious that is. And then we understood him, because he actually was being merciful. He wanted us to be able to go back to Godhead, and he knew aparad would stop all of that. So he was very, very strong against, you know, committing aparad when he was actually talking to us in the darshan. Now, in the text, today's text, it's indicated that Nanda and Sunanda were also present with Lord Narayan when he came to take a share of his oblations and give his darshan to everybody that was present. Nanda and Sunanda are personal associates or representatives of Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. In the Shastra, It's reported Nanda and Sunanda were the ones that came to get Dhruva Maharaj when he had gone, when he had returned from the forest. He had gotten the darshan of Lord Vishnu. He had returned and he had ruled. And so the time came for him to go back to the spiritual world. And the wonderful spiritual plane that came to get him was actually brought to him by Nanda and Sunanda. So actually what had happened was, just like Srila Prabhupada advises us to do, at some point we do need to give up the spiritual, the part spiritual things we do as grihasthas, part spiritual, part material, and then go into full life of spirituality, which is the vanaprast and then the sannyas. So we start this as brahmachari, and then of course many of us are in grihastha ashram now. But then after that, grihastha ashram, obviously material things are also important. We live with that, both material and spiritual. But then in the vanaprast, we have to get to this full spiritual life. Dhruva Maharaj is no different. After he ruled, this is in 4th Canto, Chapter 12, Srimad Bhagavatam, he left his kingdom and went to Bhadrikashram. So Bhadrikashram, he was now concentrating 100% doing spiritual activities, bhakti yoga. He was not involved in administration anymore because he was no longer the king. He had left. So from doing that, it said in Bhagavatam that Dhruva Maharaj's senses became completely purified. He had bathed in crystal clear purified water. He fixed his sitting position by yogic trance practice, controlling the breathing process. And he withdrew his senses and he concentrated his mind on the form of the Lord and then meditated on him. Entered into complete trance that way. So, Srimad Bhagavatam describes also that because of his transcendental bliss, that position he was in, there were tears flowing from his eyes, his heart melted, and there was so much of the ecstasy, symptoms, shivering, standing, the hairs, all of his body. So, he had left this whole idea of material life partly and spiritual life partly as a king. And now, Dhruva Maharaj completely forgot his bodily existence, and in that state, he became immediately liberated from material bondage. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam goes on to describe that as soon as these symptoms of liberation were manifest, then Dhruva Maharaj saw this beautiful plane coming from the sky. It was coming, and it is described as like a brilliant full moon, and it was illuminating all directions. And then Dhruva Maharaj saw two very beautiful associates of Lord Vishnu in the plain. And those were Nanda and Sunanda. They had four hands, blackish bodily luster. They were youthful, and their eyes were like reddish lotus flowers. They held clubs in their hands, and they were dressed in very attractive garments and helmets, and were decorated with necklaces. They had bracelets, they had earrings. So they were very, very, very nicely dressed. So they came down, got down from the plane, and then offered respects to Dhruva Maharaj and then started speaking to him. They said, "Dear King," I'm quoting directly, "let there be all good fortune to you. Please attentively hear what we shall say. When you were only 5 years old, you underwent severe austerities, and you thereby greatly satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So Nanda and Sunanda were reminding Dhruva Maharaj of what he did. And again, just like the situation with Daksha and Lord Shiva starting negatively, his also, Dhruva Maharaj also started negatively by his stepmother, blocking him from sitting on Dhruva as 5 years old, sitting on his father's lap. And even taunting him by saying that if you want to get the opportunity to sit there at your father's lap, you have to be born by me in another life. Then you will get that chance to sit. So he put Dhruva down. He put Dhruva's mother down because Dhruva was born by Suniti. And Suruchi was acting like that. Very envious too. And so Dhruva, again, this will happen to anybody spoken to like that. He was 5 years old, but he was still quite conscious and quite still aware of the seriousness of the statement that he had heard. And so he got upset and he went to his mother, and when talking to his mother about what had happened, we cut along with fast forward to when he wanted to go to the forest to seek the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because his mother told him that sages look for him in the forest. So he went there. 5 years old, little boy, the prince, son of the king, goes to the forest without his father knowing that he has gone. And now his father gets in great anxiety because anything can happen to him in that small size with all the animals and all the other ferocious, you know, other entities in the forest. But the Lord protects him, and not only that, gives him his darshan. After he got so much advice from Narada Muni, who became his spiritual master and guided him, and now he comes back and then he rules. He is very, very, very highly elevated by the presence of Lord Vishnu in the forest. And now he has lived a wonderful life, because there was also some war that he had to fight the Yakshas, because the Yakshas had killed his older brother. But still, after through all of this, then he gets to go back to the spiritual world. Now, interestingly enough, when Nanda and Sunanda addressed him, and let's finish the address, because there's a point to be talked about that. Dear King Dhruva, this is Bhagavatam 4.12.24. Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet. So they were describing to him where he was going. And remember, Dhruva had said that he wanted a planet greater than his father, greater than even Lord Brahma, and Lord Vishnu said to him that, well, here you are, the darshan, Lord Vishnu, I'm sorry, didn't even have to say much, just the darshan that he got from Lord Vishnu made Dhruva say, I was looking for cut glass and now I have diamonds. So now Lord Vishnu's presence had showed Dhruva Maharaj that there is so much mercy with the darshan of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the real thing. And in this same thing, linking it to this one also, Daksha is performing Yagya again, and Lord Narayan shows up. Again, so much mercy that the Lord is giving. So, Dhruva was now being given a chance to go to Vishnu Loka, this planet where Nanda and Sunanda describes, this is where Lord Vishnu personally resides. It is the highest of all, Nanda and Sunanda is saying, it is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within this universe. Please come with us and live there eternally. Now, that particular planet now is also called Dhruvaloka, the one planet which is a spiritual planet, but in the material world. Lord Vishnu lived there, specifically Shirodakshayi Vishnu lives in Dhruvaloka. Now, the entrance into the plane that Nanda and Sunanda were going to take to drive to get him, Dhruva, to Dhruvaloka or Vishnuloka. One more thing happened. Death personified, approached Dhruva. Now, why? Well, when a person is going back to the spiritual world, what usually happens? They leave the material body, and then they go to the spiritual world. They leave the material body, which means that's connected to the agency of death. Therefore, death personified showed up. The idea was Dhruva was going to leave the material body and then go. But that didn't happen. It's the self-same body went into the plane anyway, even though death personified was there. And as is explained in the Shastra, Dhruva stepped on the head of death personified and stepped onto the plane, which means Dhruva overcame even death and then went to the spiritual world, to Vishnu Loka, to his own planet, where Lord Vishnu also is with them perpetually. So Nanda and Sunanda played a great role here coming to get Dhruva. But Dhruva finally was actually given so much mercy because of a situation which started wrongly between, it wasn't his fault, it wasn't Dhruva's fault, started wrongly between him and his stepmother Suruchi, but ended so well. Daksha was envious of Lord Shiva, but it also, after being punished, he went through punishment, but it also ended so well. So if we make mistakes and we are sorry about the mistakes, we admit mistakes, the mistake is wrong, things we've done is horrible, and we accept it to the extent we see the extent to which we've gone with whatever we did wrong, and ask for forgiveness, and even right the wrong if we can, then mercy will always be shown to us. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. I'll just read it again. The text, the translation. This is Bhavatam 4725. When Lord Vishnu accepted the oblations offered in the sacrifice, Daksha, the Prajapati, began with great pleasure to offer respectful prayers unto him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the master of all sacrifices and preceptor of all the Prajapatis, and he is served even by such personalities as Nanda and Sunanda. Hare Krishna. So, thank you for tolerating me. If you can unmute your phones now and ask questions or make comments. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, my
Janam Pranam
to you.
Janam Pranam to you.
Guru Maharaj, thank you so much for the wonderful class.
Krishna's mercy.
Wonderful story of Dhruva Maharaj, you know, in connection to what we are reading today.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, in the beginning, you were mentioning about offenses, you know, like big elephant offenses and things like that.
Yes.
So, generally what happens, I feel that, this is my perception, that, you know, in association of people who are critical, who are criticizing, you know, we take up that, we also become like that. And then later on, when we step out of that situation, we realize that, you know, we are like we committed an offense. Now, if we are in a devotee-devotee situation, there is no problem at all. But in a situation where we are not so purified and things like this happen, and then later on we realize, you know, and so how we can avoid that that negative nature of others, you know. I mean, we can't avoid them also completely, but what are some ways in which we can, whenever we feel any person, whether he's a devotee or a non-devotee of Krishna, can, you know, is in a critical or negative mood, how can we avoid that person and, you know, be on guard? Because, you know, if like we're hearing so much about Srimad Bhagavatam every day, but, you know, like just like Prabhupada said, association is so important, you know, that's why I created these temples where you can associate with devotees. But in the same way, the negative association also is very, very, you know, influential on us. So can you just explain a little bit on in those lines, Prabhuji? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's not even for me to explain. I'll just cite what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj did in advising his devotees about this situation. So I'll tell you the story about it. Two disciples of his. One of them went to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And he was complaining, criticizing basically another devotee who was a disciple. So they were God family members, and their spiritual master was Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So Maharaj listened, and then when this person was finished with his negative comment about the other devotees, Maharaj asked him, "So is there anything positive about this particular devotee?" Obviously, that question came as a shock. But Guru Maharaj has asked that question, so you have to answer one way or the other. So the devotee said, "Yes, this other devotee, plays mridanga very nicely." Then Maharaj said, "Well, why didn't you say that?" In other words, he was telling the disciple, you have all of these negative things about a devotee, but there are also positive things about a devotee. As a matter of fact, this has been said more than once, when someone comes to Krishna consciousness, so much about hearing, and the hearing is very important, and then also the chanting, which purifies, people develop good qualities. They do develop good qualities. Sometimes we see the qualities that are of lower nature, and we want to talk so much about them. And I know the question you've asked about how do we deal with that situation. Well, as a guru, Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, brought into mind that person who was criticizing, that the person that he was, or he or she was criticizing, had also good qualities. Now, one of the things that can be done is, if you walk away from the person that's criticizing, they might get offended. It's not the easiest thing to have to sit and hear negative things also, but they might get offended. So you can hear, if you can find a spot to interrupt, certainly do. But if you interrupt, what do? Well, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj has already answered that question. Don't ask them necessarily, do you have good qualities to say about that person? Because they'd probably be offended to hear that. But as a guru, because he was teaching his disciples, so he could say that. But we're not gurus. Now, what I have been told, in situations like that, what you could do is, and again, my guru Maharaj said this, tactfully begin to say nice things about that devotee that has been criticized. Beneficial is to start talking to that particular devotee. See, here, let's just put things. Since there's you, then there's somebody else, which we'll call B. You are A. B has come to you and criticized C. Say something bad about C. And you, A, you're listening to it. So you're talking to B now. C is not there. And you, A and B, you are here and you're A. And this other person, B, is the one that's criticizing. So you tell B this. First, you're going to say nice things about C to this person that is B that's criticizing. Now, just so you don't arouse their ego, your false ego, and let them get upset with you because they've said negative things and you are not going to say positive things about C, you can start first by talking about the good nature of B, the devotee who is criticizing. You can start by talking about good things about him or her. Now, obviously, they might take it, maybe out of pride or maybe out of humility. They might take it, but you're saying something positive about them, about B. And then you say, in the same way, C also has these qualities. And then you begin to list the good qualities about C. So now, you have heard negative things, but now you've played away from the negative things into positive things. First saying positive things about the person that was talking to you, and now positive things about the person that was talked about negatively. That is B and C. So if you do that, it may cause this person to think. B, the person that came to you, to think twice in the future about coming to you with any negativity. It depends also on the relationship you have with B, the person that came to you to criticize. If you're close enough to that person, because it's all, you know, sometimes people who are closer, they speak like that. You know, sometimes somebody else just wants to go out and gossip about everybody, to everybody that they see. Right? That's also there. But if that person is close to you, B is close to you enough in relationship, that is a good friend or somehow relative, somehow close to you, then you can go a little further by pointing out the dangers that gossiping, backbiting causes to all of us. You can tell them, with all due respect, I was actually concerned about, you know what the Shastra talks about, apparat, and we all are trying to go back to Godhead. You have weakness, I have weakness, C also has weakness, and so those things will come up. It's a process of purification. So whatever you can do to help that person, you go ahead and do that. Now, you've said some things, it may be true, that are negative about C, but what do you think we should do to help C? Okay, so this is another way to look at it. What do you think we should do to help this person, this devotee, C? From what you've said, any person can say, well, they should be like this, they should be like this, they should be like this, but that's not the solution. Everybody can say you could be a better person. Well, how do you become a better person? So then begin to prod that person, B, that person's mind, the person that's speaking to you negatively about C. Come up with a way in which we can help C if you really think these problems are there. Suggest things, I'll suggest things, and then we'll see about how to approach C to help this particular devotee, C. So one of the things is you can praise B for his good or her good qualities, and then go on to speak more about the good qualities, this time referring to C, the person that you know that B was backbiting on or gossiping about. And then you can also ask, well, okay, so given that you know these negative things about C, how do we help C to improve? And see what you'll get out of it. Guru and Guranga will assist both of you, you A and B, to actually help come up with ideas to help C. So then it would end well in that way. That way you don't have to offend B or blame B for criticizing C, or you know, get into something negative with B also. And then that would be an apparat on you yourself if you do that. Hare Krishna. It's a tactful thing you have to adopt, but it's possible to do it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. You just got me on the right track, and just have to remember this. That's one thing, because I know, like, several times devotees have mentioned that one should, glorify the person somehow or the other, get out of that negative emotion, you know, and start glorifying, and immediately in your mind see the positive aspect, and then otherwise it becomes very difficult to live in this world. Because we all know we all have a negatives, whether we are practitioners or even not practitioners. So thank you so much for the wonderful answer and the class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And I just want to add one more to it from what you just said. Yes, glorifying that person is important. My only concern about that is that if you go into glorifying that person right away, then you've heard negativity from B about C, and you're just coming firing positivity about C to B, right? So you know how the mind is like. The person, B's mind will say, oh, yes, sir, he thinks he's so elevated. And then now he's talking about you now. You think you're so elevated. I've said negative and you're saying positive or something. And now you might be the subject of gossip the next time from B. Because now he's upset with you that you did something nice when he was saying something, thinking that, you know, B was saying something, thinking that you're just going to be accepting the gossip, but you didn't. And that's why it's, you know, you do that. Yes, you do say something good about C also, glorify the person, but it's more tactful to start glorifying the good qualities of B, the person that actually started the gossiping, so that you showing that you appreciate B, even though you know you said something, he said something negative, you appreciate B, and then from that on to the glorification of C also. And that way, and then both of them have been glorified by you, B and C, then B won't have any reason to be upset with you then. So that's the tactful, the tact that needs to be shown, that's all. But yeah, glorifying C is important. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Also, Prabhuji, if anybody has any questions, like anger is also connected to, we're talking about, talking bad about someone from his behind, very closely connected to being envious.
Oh, yes.
Right? They're like almost hand in hand.
Yes, that's very true.
Okay.
That's very true. You were envious, you wouldn't be talking about that person. Some people don't want to admit it, that when we see something bad we want to say about that person, that there's no envy. Usually, subtly, underlying, there is some envy. But actually, what we need to remember is, we're all in this. We're all conditioned souls, trying to improve, trying to get the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, and we're all in this together. Therefore, when that thought of something negative, not even saying it, just the thought of something negative about a person comes, we should definitely try to block it out. And the easier thing to do is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then say to yourself, I'm no better than this person. I'm no better than this person. This is why Srila Prabhupada has told us, everybody should be seen by us as Prabhu. We're a servant, a master, and usually servants are not in position to criticize a master. So if we're really proper servant, we don't criticize a master. And so this is also one way that Srila Prabhupada helps us to cut the whole thing about being so critical of each other. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you, Prabhuji. And, you know, I think I mentioned on the call that, one time, I was seeing actually the initiation ceremony at this new center to our community.
Mm-hmm.
And there they were, Bhakti Charu Maharaj was giving initiation, and he said that two more things he wanted his disciples to say out.
Okay.
One is that do not commit any offense to devotees, and second is you'll never leave ISKCON.
So wonderful.
In today's, as we are more progressing, more deeper into Kali Yuga, you know, our Guru Maharajas, our disciples of Srila Prabhupada actually seen this as a very big problem. And so now they're making sure it's also spoken at the time of
initiation.
And you know, the best thing which I liked about your class today is you said that Srila Prabhupada was, whatever practices we are doing, we're taking out 2 hours for chanting, regulative principles.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the ultimate goal is to go remember Krishna at the time of death and go back to Godhead. And that we will not be able to do. So it's a waste. It's a complete waste of whatever bhakti we are doing, if we are indulging in criticism, whether it's behind the back or in front. So this is one point which I really liked in the class today, which I want to keep with me, because, you know, what is the point of chanting then? Or, you know, like, it's like, if we don't be able to fulfill our ultimate goal of going back to Godhead. So if you always remember this, then we will not commit, this offense. And so, yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. It all depends also. Remember, one thing that connects to this is also the devotee association. And not just devotee association, associating with all devotees. Associating with all devotees in general is good because they remind you about, you know, spiritual practices, because they're doing it too and you do it around them. That's good. But associating with a fixed up devotee, one that's very careful not to be offensive, it's a very smart thing to do. The person that you can tell. By that, you know, when you talk with people, the ones that for over a long period of time that of conversing them, they never say anything negative about anybody else. That person you associate and spend more time with, because you will definitely develop that same attitude of not being offensive and gee, that person will help you so much to grow, because then you stay on the positive side of things the whole time you're associating with him or her. Hare Krishna. So devotee association and a choice of the person that we want to hang out with the most should be a person that's not offensive and very careful about apparat. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? Okay, if there are no more comments, then unless...
This session is no longer being recorded.
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for tolerating me. Maybe we can end now. Vanchakalpa Trilubhyascha Kripasindibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much,
Babaji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Babaji. Hare Krishna.
Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Jai.